faces challenges, but it's how we deal with them that really matters. I'm Camille Bauer, and I'm going to help you see that life can go from bad to worse. But if you have faith and trust in the Lord and put on your big girl pants, then those hard times will help strengthen your faith, refine your character, and make you who you were destined to be. Welcome Hello. To this week's episode. I'm here with one of my favorite co-hosts, Gunnar Klempauer. And we wanted to talk to you guys this week a little bit about
unfair and unjust things.
Yeah, but first we want to take a pause because there's a lot of hard things going on right now in the entire world. And we wanted to check in with you guys and let you know that there's a message of hope and light and that you guys can get through hard times no matter what. So we wanted to share with you guys what gets us through unfair, unjust, horrible, hard things. And Gunnar, let's start off with your baseball experience because let's give a little background. Give a little background of your dad and what baseball means to you.
Okay, so my dad basically played sports all of his life. His dad, my grandpa, was the coach for most of his teams. He played baseball and football, and
he was all state. He had a scholarship.
Yeah.
Right.
And he he loved baseball. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to go in his footsteps and I wanted to try playing baseball. So I played baseball from a young age and did T-ball and...
And as your dad got sick, so he did help coach, you know, and as he got sick, he still stayed on as an assistant coach. But he threw the first pitch at the Bees game,
yes,
which was really rad. And what kind of shoes were you wearing?
I was wearing my cowboy boots.
And they were like, oh my gosh, this is the first time anybody has been wearing cowboy boots and pitched. And he pitched to his dad, which was so cool.
Yeah.
And he was so nervous. But do you remember how old you were? Were you nine? Eight or nine? Anyway, and he threw the pitch straight into his dad over home plate. It was so rad.
It was so cool. It was pretty fun.
So baseball does connect them. They've had a deep history with baseball. And so after Clint passed, you were in baseball still. We moved, remarried a year or so later, and moved up in this small little town.
Of Midway. And it's just, you know, I've never been in a small town. I've been in a big city most of my life, and so I thought, yeah, let's go do baseball again. It's going to be fun. And so I go and I try out, and, you know, I'm confident because I was playing baseball. I think I was on a break or something for like a year since my dad passed, and so I went up and I did my tryouts. I was feeling good, and a week or so later, they sent us the news, and they say I didn't get on. I'm like...
Oh,
just so devastated.
So at that point, I talked to the coach, and the coach was like, hey, he can still come to practices all season long. He just can't play games. So anyway, I talked to Gunnar, and how hard would that have been, knowing that you're cut from the team, the whole team knows you're cut from the team? Are you going to show up and humiliate yourself every week? What did you do, Gunnar?
Yes. I went every single practice. You know, I was going to be like, I'm going to show this coach wrong just because he cut me off from the team doesn't mean I'm going to keep on, doesn't mean I'm just going to not try anymore. So I went, and I went to all the practices, and luckily I had a friend on the team. And
you did good. You proved to him that he's not going to give up. He told another kid that he could still come to practices too. Did that kid show up?
No.
But Gunnar did. He stuck with it, and he's amazing and incredible. So that was fall. Spring ball comes around. Gunnar tries out. My father-in-law, who's been the coach for lots of teams, right, comes and quietly sits in the bleachers and just kind of watches everything going on. And he's like, okay, he has a really good chance. He's not the best. He's not the worst. There was about three people that were going to be cut from the team. And Gunnar was definitely not in the cutting zone. So we were like, okay, they've developed a rapport with the coach. We're good. And all our eggs were hoping that they could go in this basket.
Mm-hmm. And so I did tryouts again. This time it was indoors. And it was fun. I had a good time, went against people. You know, I was feeling confident this time. Like, I showed the coach who's boss. I showed him I'm not going to lay off of when you tell me I'm not on the team. I'm still going to come. And so then when I did it again, and then a week later, I get news, and I'm not on the team.
Yeah, he didn't make the team again. And it's like, are you serious? And we really looked at it. The people who were on the team have lived in the city, that little small town, not city, have lived in the small town their whole life, or their dad's company sponsors the team. And so after that experience, it was so disheartening, because that's 6 months of his life. And when he didn't make it, I could see in his eyes that he felt he let his dad down. And so then he had that 6 months to prove, like, I can do this. I can put forth the effort. Yeah, he had lost some of his skill because it had been a year and a half since his dad had passed, and he hadn't played as much and didn't have a dad to throw the ball with, but he got back into it and put his whole heart into it. And I'm so proud of you for that. But it didn't pay off. It didn't. And you would think that you had the recipe for success. And you know what? If it was fair, if they would have placed the team based upon talent, he would have been on the team. And that's the frustrating part. And that's kind of where we wanted to segue into our podcast this week, is talking about unjust and unfair. And how do you get through that? How do you get past that? Especially if you're justified in feeling completely taken advantage of, betrayed, in a situation where you're not treated fairly. That's really hard pill to swallow, like, especially when you put forth all the effort and you're passed up for a promotion, you're passed up and looked over when you've put in that hard work. How do you get through it? And that day when we found out he didn't make it, you know, we shed lots of tears together.
Yes. Many. It was very hard to hear the news that, because, you know, I thought it was going to be all based on skill, so I thought I wasn't good enough. And so that made me really sad. But my mom is amazing and helped me see past that and got back on track and was happy.
And so I remember us sitting there that one day, and I will never forget how tender it was in my heart that I looked at him and his tears were in his eyes and tears were in my eyes, and I'm just like, I'm so sorry. And he looked at me, and this little inside joke we have is this YouTube video. It's highly inappropriate, and we don't recommend you watch it, but if you Google Honey Badger, don't give up, you might just find something insanely inappropriate that you shouldn't show your children, but I'm a mom that's has lower standards. So anyway, we watched this video, and it was after Clint passed away. To my defense, I was like up on his top bunk, laying by him, and I think it was like in the dark weeks after he passed, and this dumb video came on YouTube, and it was like this guy doing a voiceover for this honey badger that is going throughout nature and fiercely eating snakes and things that are going to, you think, prevail against this honey badger. But the honey badger, you know, he's like, oh, stupid. The honey badger don't give up. Totally inside joke, unless you really watch that. Then you might chuckle with this right now. But the honey badger doesn't give up. So Gunner said that day, we were sitting there in tears and I was giving him a hug, and he just stopped and paused and looked at me, and he's like, Mom, honey badgers don't give up. And we just started laughing so hard. We're like, I'm like, yes, proud mom moment. Honey badger, we don't give up, and we're going to push forward and we're going to push through. And you know what? Baseball, you don't have to do that, because that's a baton your dad passed to you. Your dad's going to love you even if you don't do baseball. And I think that was a realization that he had to let that go. Obviously, if he wants to pick something else up in the future, he has that belief and that drive that, yeah, I believe in myself and I can do something. But to get through that hard, unjust situation took a lot of mental toughness. And so we divided it up into four categories for you guys. All right. How do you get through? What did we come up with for number one?
Number one was focus on the future.
So you have to realize when you're in something hard that it's not the end of the world. You will move forward. You will press forward. And you can choose. Are you going to be sad and miserable and make it horrible and bitter and hard? Or are you going to look forward to brightness and hope and light and know you can get to that good place and you're going to be stronger because of what you've gone through? So number one, focusing on the future and having perspective. If you can, in that zone, in that hard time, when something hits you and it's hard, if you can think to yourself, pause and go, this isn't the end of the world. And what
doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
It doesn't kill you makes you stronger, which is one of the lines we said don't say several weeks ago. But you can say that to yourself, right? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But what doesn't, you know, what it doesn't define you. It doesn't define you. Failure doesn't define you. And I love failure because it's an opportunity to move you forward.
To make you a better person.
Congratulations. If you failed, awesome. Because that's just something that's going to push you, define you, refine you, and make you who you're meant to be. And all because of your failing. And that means you're living. That means you're trying. And that experience, did it pay off for him as far as making the team? No, it didn't. But it helped him learn about grit. It helped him learn about himself. It helped him learn that he can plow through and get through hard things and come out a better person for it. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard when you're in that hard fog to really blow the fog away and think, oh my gosh, there it is. I'm better because of that. But it's not easy when you're in the crappiness to look forward and see that. But just have hope that this is, it's going to get better. So number one was that the power to fuel yourself forward. If you have that carrot in the future that this is not the end and you will be better, that's perfect. So that's why that was our number one. Number two.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Go ahead. What was another
you
one
need you wanted to do that? One of the ways to press yourself forward is to, you need to think about the future or think about something that you have done that makes you happy, like vacations or one of the things that you can remember that has made you very happy, like going swimming or going hanging out with friends. That's something that can make you feel happy. And thinking about that, I think, will give you a better mindset about the... Yeah. About what situation you're in at the moment.
Yeah, so if you have these bad negative thoughts, I love Gunner's tip that is like, think of good thoughts. Think of good things. Think of a honey badger that doesn't give up. Whatever you need to do, whatever you need to think of when you're in that dark, hard time, play that in your mind. You have the power. You have the power to choose. And surround yourself by those who love and support you. So if you're around a team of people or a situation of friends that aren't the best of friends, you found out, go around people that are your people, that are your tribe, that are your support and encouragement. And when you surround yourself, if you're low and you surround yourself with people that love you, you're going to feel better and they're going to help you feel better. And that's what it is. If you're in your homes right now and you're quarantined and you can't get out and go do things, you've got your people around you. You've got your little tribe and there's power in that. And we love that surround yourself. Change your mindset. Don't give up. There's a great scripture in D&C 19:23.
Learn of me and listen to my words. Walk in the meekness of my spirit and you shall have peace in me.
Okay, so that's going to lead us into number three, which was clinging to the word of God. So number one, we're going to focus that it's going to get better. We're not going to give up. We're going to change our mindset. And we are going to turn to our hearts to our Savior Jesus Christ. And I love that because if we learn of our Savior Jesus Christ, if we listen to our Savior and we walk in His Spirit, we will have peace no matter what's going on in our life. And I have completely experienced this. You know, I've had over the last quarter of last year, I've had friends that I thought were best friends completely stab me in the back and betray me and say hurtful, unjust, unfair things about me. And in that time, I turned and poured my whole heart to the Savior. I stopped listening to my hip hop music that I love. So my guilty pleasure, Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and whatever. I just completely protected myself and surrounded and immersed myself in the spirit of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Listening, I love the technology of having scriptures at the touch of your finger on your phone that are audio. As you're driving back and forth, I would put those on. And as I'm in my shower, like whatever, I just surrounded myself with the Word of God. And I just had so much peace at the beginning of this year, just infuse into my heart. And I'm just like, that doesn't matter what's going on. And I love that the prophet of our church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, President Russell M. Nelson, he has a quote. The gist of it is, no matter, joy doesn't come from your circumstances. Joy comes from our Savior, Jesus Christ. It has little to do with what's going on in your life. And I lived a couple months going, haha, yeah, right, that's bullcrap. I'm doing everything I should be doing, and I'm not feeling that joy. But I didn't give up. And I pressed forward, and it came. And that joy of our Savior, Jesus Christ, is real. It's not fake. It's not hogwash. It's not something that people make up to get them through some hard time. There is a miracle in our Savior, Jesus Christ, and His sacrifice and His atonement is real. And when you are in hard times and you feel like you can't move forward, that's when you need our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's when you need to rely on Him. That's when you need to go to Him and say, I can't do this anymore. I need you to show up for me. And if you consistently pour your heart and soul out to God, you will see miracles in your life. And even if that miracle is, you can get up and you can wish and bless those people who did those hurtful things to you, love and light, and not have like that, I hope you get back what you gave. You know, if you get to that, then you'll get to that point. Like I felt in my heart, like, wow, I wish them the best. And it has little to do with what's going on with me, but it probably has more to do with what's going on in their heart. And once I grasped that, I really felt like that shift and change in my heart from my Savior, Jesus Christ, that hard time, I was able to be better because of not my own accord, but because of my faith in the Savior. And that helped push me through. And we don't have to associate with people who are not nice. It, you know, like that old analogy, if you play with a snake and it bites you, you shouldn't probably play with the snake. You know, there is that command that we love God first, second commandment, we love others, but we don't need to put ourselves in harm's way of people that are hurtful, betray us, and are mean. We don't need to continually invite that in our life. I don't have those relationships and those friendships anymore because I don't need a friend like that. When who needs enemies if you have friends like that? But we just need to push forward and move forward and surround ourselves, I love, like Gunnar said, with people that love us and support us in our tribe. And why we do that, and we're in the darkness and we're in the hard, if we turn to the words of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we learn of Him, we listen to Him, and we walk with Him, we're going to have peace. No matter what's going on, no matter what pandemic, no matter what, if you're in Utah, like, go ahead and top the pandemic with a little earthquake on the side, about 90 of them in one day, you know. I mean, there's most mass hysteria here this last week. For those of you who aren't from Utah, like on top of the coronavirus, we not only had that, we had an earthquake, like a 5.7 earthquake in the morning. Like I felt like I put some money in my bed at Vegas or something that's like shaking my bed in the morning. But it's shaked us. It can shake your belief and your faith. Like, but we can get through no matter what, and we can have peace, and we can sit in our home and surround ourselves with those we love and move forward and be better people.
And I actually have a scripture to go along with that. It's 2 Nephi chapter 31, verse 20. And it says, wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And I just like how that goes with don't give up, because if you believe in your Savior, Jesus Christ, and you pour your troubles to Him, then He will help you get through your hard times.
And if you don't have faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ, then have hope. And if you don't have hope, then try to believe. I mean, it's little baby steps. You don't have to be the scriptorian and know all these things to deserve God's love and light and peace. You just need to start where you're at. And God loves you right now. God loves you exactly as you are. And he's there for you exactly as you are. Not when you're this person. Not when you've done enough to earn his love. You have it already, and he's there for you. And I promise you, and I testify because it's happened in my own life, if you pick up the Bible, if you pick up the Word of God, you will get that peace. Not maybe not immediately, not right away, but it will infuse into your soul. And you will feel that joy, that hope, that light will radiate. And don't give up. And if you don't have faith, have hope, have belief, and take our word for it. Keep going. Don't give up. God believes in you. And we believe in you. And we know that when it's hard, go back to the basics. And God is there, and he will always be there for you and loves you. And number four, which is one of our favorite things to do in our house.
Laugh.
Is laugh. All right? So if you can't think of anything else that's going to change your mindset, think of something that makes you laugh. And we do that all the time. All the time. And one of the adages was, you know, at least our pets' heads aren't falling off. You know, like me and Clint, if you've ever watched Dumb and Dumber, like they really think their bird's head fell off because it got old and died. But, you know, we'd come home from bad appointments and we'd be like, at least our pets' heads aren't falling off. Like, really, you have to laugh. You have to look for something to lighten it up. And I love Marjorie Pay Hinckley, which was a prophet of the church, Gordon B. Hinckley, his wife. And she would always say, laughter is the best medicine. I prefer to laugh because crying gives me a headache, you know. And I love that because I have had so many crying headaches. I'm going to tell you, I have poured buckets of tears, and then I have laughed so much. And I mean, laughter is the best medicine. And I believe God has a sense of humor. I really honestly do. And I think sometimes we just have to laugh and love and surround ourselves with light. And I wanted to share, like, one of my last things was one of the most wisest things that I was ever told from Wyatt, who was four. And it was about 3 weeks after Clint passed away. And I was sitting in my living room, and I didn't turn the TV on for 6 months after Clint passed away. And it was about three weeks. And I was just sitting on the couch, and I was brokenhearted. And when you lose somebody you love, it's like my whole magnet, my whole gravity, my whole purpose for living, especially when you're a caretaker for someone, your whole life is that person. So all of a sudden he's gone, and I don't have my purpose for my life, which had been so much taking care of him. So I was just sitting there. Gunner was out playing. Niska was gone. And Wyatt, my little four-year-old, came up, and I was just slowly rolling tears on the couch. And he came up and he sat next to me, and he just was so in deep contemplation of, gosh, what can I do or what can I say to help my mom? And I just saw him kind of twiddling his thumbs and sitting there pondering and looking at me. And he said to me, hey, mom. And I looked down at him for a second through the tears. And he goes, think about what if Wayne was poo. And I stopped. In his four-year-old language, Wayne is rain. So he wanted me to envision, what if rain was poo? Okay. Turds falling out of the sky instead of raindrops. And he didn't even laugh. He just sat there and looked at me. And I let that thought enter my mind of turds falling down from the sky. And I started to laugh so hard. And Wyatt just looked at me, and his eyes like lit up so bright that he just started to laugh with me, because like he did it. He actually cheered me up. Like he really had to think of like the funniest thing he could ever think of in his life. Like he was down to his last lifeline, and this was what he came up with. And so like that's a funny like inside joke that we say. And those of you who follow me on social media, like I've done quotes and stuff on that, because like, what if Wayne was poo? Like if you're down and you're out and you got to think of something to make you laugh, you can think of turds falling out of the sky, because that what works for us. So anyway, laugh, love, bring light in your life, and put your heart to the Savior. And we love you guys. We believe in you.
And so in conclusion, our 4 points are: number one, focus on the future. Just think about happy times and how the future could pan out because of what you are going through. Number two, don't give up. if you can press forward and just keep hope, faith, belief, whatever, then it will help you
get through those
drastically
hard times.
In your hard times.
Okay, number three, cling to the Word of God. Oh, dust off your Bible, open up your Book of Mormon, turn on a church tape, whatever hymns, music you need. Cling to the Word of God, and that will help soothe your soul and bring peace. Number four, laugh. And laugh a lot. I mean, we love it. And you've got to look for the good in life, and you've got to look for those moments and laugh. And we love you guys, and we're here for you. And we believe in you. Don't give up when times are hard and times are kind of uneasy right now. So don't give up. Focus on the good. Focus on the light and share love and light. We love you guys.
Thank you for watching and listening.